this morning is Psalm 23, words that have brought comfort to so many through so many generations. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Wow, God.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to begin with an apology. If you sense that I've got something in my mouth while I'm speaking, it is a lozenge. The Vacation Bible School children left me a little gift this week. It's called a cold. Our gospel reading comes from John in the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. All thanks and praise to God for God's word in our lives, especially in those times when we need it most. And we pray for God's Spirit to speak to us this day, giving us strength, hope, comfort, and wisdom. Amen. This week, our community of faith was rocked to its core. I personally was rocked to the core. I cannot remember a time in my whole career when I sat behind my desk feeling numb for an entire afternoon and did not know what to do. In the span of only an hour on Wednesday morning, we went from hearing that Joanne had been found dead, thinking it was by natural causes, and then learning that it may well have been something more than that. And then came the flurry. Then came the news teams and the law enforcement officials interviewing me and anybody who was here, and in fact invited her circle here to come the next day to sit down, and everyone in her circle sat and talked with the law enforcement official. In the midst of all that, it just seemed surreal, unbelievable, mistaken. Please, someone tell us this was a mistake. Joanne was scheduled to be in Vacation Bible School that morning, and that's when we got the word. Many of us in the middle of our classes, the classes we were teaching where the kids were just rambunctious and busy and having a good time, we had to step out of the classroom into the chapel upstairs and get the word and have a prayer and pull ourselves together because we needed to get back into the rooms where the children were. I got back and I was telling a Bible story and I could not remember the story I was telling before I left. And I had to stop and think about it for a minute. Here we are then with this news inside our heads and our hearts, and we have to go on and teach and play with the children, innocence unaware of what we had just learned. At the end of Vacation Bible School that day, the volunteers gathered right here in the sanctuary after the children and the parents all left. And I read this from Psalm 46. We sang it this morning. God is our refuge and our strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When the time comes, and the date is yet to be determined, we are valiantly working on that. We will gather to celebrate Joanne's wonderful life in our service of witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Her life that touched us in so many wonderful ways. But circumstances are such that before we can do that, we find ourselves individually and collectively as a community of faith having to work through the confusion, the pain, and the anger of all this. And because it's unresolved, we find ourselves emotionally just hanging out there, flapping in the breeze. And we need to work through that, and I want us to work through that today in the days ahead and support each other. Be willing to talk about it with each other. I'm doing my best this morning to talk about it here to help us begin that process. We need to do that. Because when I come to this sanctuary on that date, when we do have that service of witness to the resurrection, on that day, I want us to be at a place where we can truly celebrate her life and truly make it a service of witness to the resurrection. But first, we have to find ourselves through the stormy blast. Yes, it is true. For as long as the children of God have lived on this earth, we have been assaulted and insulted by the brutality of this life. It's a brutality that makes no sense. And we seek valiantly, in the midst of that, to let God lead our way. For the most part in our life, and you know as well as I, that we hear about stories like this on the news all the time, near and far, and we put it away. We see it as a brutality that's further than an arm distance away from us personally, a brutality that is experienced by other people, and it's something that we hear about and it makes us shake our heads. But then we go our way, once again glad we dodged that bullet. But this one wasn't an arm's length away from us. And we are shocked and angered by the reality of our human vulnerability. So what on earth do we do? Where do we find comfort in a world that gave our beloved Joanne no final comfort in this life anyway, even while she was one of the most deserving? John is the only gospel that shares a lengthy monologue by Jesus at the Last Supper. He said in that monologue that one of them was to betray him. And he said to Peter that he would deny him. And following that speech that Jesus gave there in the upper room, he indeed would be betrayed, would be arrested, would be taken from them, and would be denied. I thought the initial word about Joanne's death, thinking it was natural causes, was difficult enough. But we've been through that before, And as painful as that news was, I knew that we would journey through together, that we would get through this. We have done this before. We know that. But the secondary word that we received, that it didn't happen naturally, was the worst part. It took us from our sense and our knowledge of reality and the way we cope with what goes on to a place where you just wonder what you're going to do next. As hard as it is to do, for the most part, we weather through the storm of having people that we love and care about who pass from our midst. When we discover it was more unjust than that, the world stops turning. As I told you, on Wednesday, I sat behind my desk, feeling numb, couldn't do anything. Jesus was the only one in that upper room that day who knew exactly what was coming. He knew of the injustice of what the outside enemies were going to do. And he knew the shame the disciples would feel for not being there for him. How do you navigate through? Not just in regard to dealing with someone who's been taken from us too early, but taken unjustly. This is what Jesus says in that same monologue in the upper room. This is what he says to his disciples about those things that he knew was coming. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The peace Christ offers is something other than what we know normally in this world. The peace Christ offers is much, much more than just the absence of hostility. The peace Christ offers is more than just a written treaty between opponents. And the peace Christ offers is not acquiescence in the face of evil. The peace offered by Christ is the fullness of understanding when nothing else makes sense. It is an unearthly presence in our midst, in the midst of profound worldly confusion. The peace offered by Christ is an assurance that God's destiny, God's ultimacy, can never be waylaid by self-absorbed human madness. Ever. We know this because the very next thing that Jesus says is, "I do not give to you as the world gives." That statement tells us something very deep about who this Jesus was. Jesus knew how the world hands things out. Justly and unjustly. But before human brutality would take him out, he had already been a witness to the way the world was. He knew better than any of us of which he spoke. "I don't give to you as the world does," Jesus said. "I give you peace. I give you the one thing the world cannot take from you. and cannot guarantee. I give you the very kingdom of God. Joanne once said to me, and these are her words, and you will understand. With that look in her eye, she looked at me one time and she said, "I'm one feisty broad." I remember her that way. She was an honest, straight shooter. In the countless times that we spoke with each other, I asked for her insight and advice many, many times. And she gave it to me in unvarnished ways. I did not have to guess what her answer was. And I always appreciated it because it was coming from someone whose heart came from the very heart of God. And I knew she loved me. And I knew I loved her. And I knew she loved the people of Covenant Presbyterian Church and so many others beyond that place, beyond this place. That's the legacy we carry, folks. That's the love of God made real to us. And Joanne Leisure. And as we work through the emotional stuff, the pain and the confusion and the anger, we got to grab that love. The love that gives us the peace that we need now. In the midst of this tragedy, it is this that makes Joanne Leisure the true victor. The sheer human brutality that took Jesus from this earth could never win. Jesus made it clear. And being in Christ, that same human brutality has not kept Joanne Leisure from the victory of being in God's presence. Hers is now the peace that passes all understanding. And it is the peace that Joanne herself would call upon us to dwell in these difficult and painful times. As we begin that process now, and we will be walking this journey for days ahead, as we begin that process now, we will be preparing our hearts, our minds, and our souls to gather again in the very near future to celebrate Joanne's life as the true gift bestowed upon us by a loving Creator who never lets us go and who now holds our beloved Joanne close to the heart. This week, in the midst of everything that was going on here, the busyness that just walked into my office as a result, Deacon Jack Mutzebaugh walked into my office, closed the door behind him, pulled the chair up to my desk, looked at me and said, "I wrote this prayer and I want to share it with you now." And it was an unexpected blessing. I've asked Jack to come forward and share that prayer with all of us.
When I first came to Covenant about 3 years ago, Joanne Leisure was one of the first people to welcome me and make me feel at home. And within a short period of time, she became a good friend. At first, I thought maybe her attention and her affection were based on the fact that I was from Pittsburgh, her hometown also. And we talked about Pittsburgh a lot. But I quickly realized that for Joanne, everybody was from Pittsburgh. I'd like to read a short prayer for her this morning. Most merciful God, all of us are saddened by the loss of our dear friend Joanne Leisure, who was taken from us for unknown and unconscionable reasons. We ask you to welcome her into your kingdom and provide her with the loving care and protection she so richly deserves. We know that in our hearts that she will become one of your most devoted and industrious servants. We shall miss her warmth and welcoming nature. She will bless your kingdom by her presence. Amen.
Am I on? Okay. This morning, and we had put it off, we are having our Stephen Ministry commissioning service today. And I know what Joanne would tell me. She would say, do what you got to do, especially in light of the fact that as we do this Stephen Ministry commissioning, Stephen Ministry is all about the ministry and the caring of the heart and soul of the people of God. And I'm going to now ask Barb Sheets to come forward, and we will bring forward our Stephen's ministers who will be commissioned. Please take note that this is participatory, and at the blessing time, as you will note in your bulletins, we're going to ask you to stand and share in the blessing in unison.